I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Christoph Hebeisen, Director of Security Intelligence Research at Lookout Threat Labs. Welcome, Christoph. Thanks for coming onto the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So, Christoph, I read an article in Cyber News in July about how Android apps have a huge crypto mining scam problem, and Lookout was referenced within that article as having uncovered some of these scams, so we wanted to invite you all on, and I'd love for you to tell us more about what these scams are, how they work, and, you know, anything else as far as what you all found.
Yeah, so these Android apps that were used in the scam were, as you said, were advertised as cryptocurrency cloud mining apps. And so mining is the process in which cryptocurrency is generated, and it's very computationally intensive. So it certainly can't run on a cell phone. So usually it requires specialized hardware and a whole lot of electricity. The apps promise something called cloud mining, in which the user, or in this case, I guess, the victim of the scam, pays a certain amount of money to a mining operator in return for a share of the cryptocurrency revenue that comes from the mining that is supposedly going on in some kind of cloud infrastructure. The money is paid either by buying the app and paying for it, or through in-app purchases. Some of them used the Google Pay. Others used cryptocurrency transfers to pay for that. And the apps even supposedly show you how much cryptocurrency you have earned from this operation. But here is the catch. No mining is really going on. The only thing that you see in the app is really an internal counter that constantly increases, but there's no cryptocurrency generated. And you can never withdraw that money that you have supposedly earned that the app is showing you. So overall, this kind of criminal business model is very similar to many advanced fee scams. So a large payoff is promised for paying some kind of fee upfront. The innovation in this case, on the criminal's part, is in using apps to promise and track these non-existing but very legitimate-looking gains.
Interesting. So from what I'm understanding is if you have an Android, you download one of these apps, you're seeing this internal counter that's telling you some kind of earnings, and it looks like you maybe are wealthier on paper, but there's nothing backing that up at all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. And what we actually observed is that sometimes that counter resets if the app crashes and that it starts counting at zero again, or sometimes it gets reset to zero depending on the app if you push the button that lets you supposedly withdraw funds, except no funds are ever withdrawn and transferred anywhere. And many of the apps also had a very high minimum withdrawal limit, so that if you have only earned a small amount of cryptocurrency, you're actually not able to withdraw it at all. So for the longest time, you will assume that you just legitimately have to wait longer and maybe pay more money to make it mine faster, which the counter then runs faster if you paid more money, but you will still not be able to withdraw anything.
Interesting. This is pretty, someone really thought this out very well. It's like it's capitalizing on so many different things. It's capitalizing on the trend for crypto, people's lack of understanding of how crypto works, especially folks who are in non-crypto, non-cyber industries, but they want in on that. I guess what I'm curious is, how much do apps like this cost? And then what are the different types of in-app purchases that you've mentioned, like what do those cost as well?
So I don't have the exact numbers in my head, but it was like a single digit and double digit dollar amounts. So certainly under $100 for the purchases, as far as I remember. But it kind of adds up. So with 93,000 users that we know about that use this, our estimate is. And this only includes app sales and crypto payments. We can't track the in-app purchases that happened.
Okay.
There we know just from the app sales and crypto payments, it was $350,000. And since most apps actually relied on the on in-app payments and not on charging for the app, the real value is likely multiples of that.
Wow. Wow. And so... there are multiple apps like this as well. There, it's more than one, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw 170 apps that we identified, 25 of which we found on Google Play.
Oh, wow. And so do these apps have reviews? I have an iPhone, so I can't really speak to what the Google Play Store looks like, or any, you're downloading apps on an Android or anything like that. But do they have reviews? Are they fake? Or is it people who are just under the assumption that they're getting Bitcoin rich or crypto rich somehow?
So I think the stores work much the same. There are reviews. And in this case, we don't have any indication that there were many fake reviews. Okay. There. Maybe some. But the reviews overall were actually quite negative. That was one of the things that we immediately noticed when we started investigating these apps. It's like, oh yeah, a lot of people seem to have trouble withdrawing money. I wonder how they got so many downloads for this app, given that the reviews were so negative. But apparently, people still fall for it.
Interesting. I wonder if it's kind of that just hopefulness that you can get easy money that draws folks in. I know that that's what draws folks into those kind of advanced fee scams that you referenced earlier. We've spoken to victims of those scams and, reformed hackers of scams like that and such. And I know that that's a big thing, is like it's just too appealing. Do you think that that's kind of what's at play here as well?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that is kind of common in phishing, which is mostly what happens in those scams, is that the criminal actors create this kind of urgency and fear of missing out, right? Where it's like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can make hundreds of thousands of dollars if you just pay this little advance fee. Now, here it's not hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's probably smaller amounts that are promised, but it looks a lot more legitimate. This is not money laundry that that you would have to get involved in, but actually crypto mining, which we know from all of the buzz that happened, certainly since the crypto market took off like over a year ago, that there is a lot of fear of missing out. So the attackers in this case don't even have to create that sense of urgency. It's already there. They just have to capitalize on it. And because of that, because it is so expensive to get into that market now, and because there is this kind of feeling on the part of many people that this is a great opportunity, I think that that delivers the victims right into the hands of the attacker here.
Right. Absolutely. And as far as those revenue trackers, internal counters, what have you, do they specify what type of crypto is being mined, as well as like, are they telling people they have like 5 Bitcoin, or like, is it like fractions, or how does that work?
The different apps promise to mine different kinds of Bitcoin, but I think each of them was specialized in in one particular one. I mean, the, I think we put some screenshots on our pages. It was certainly many satoshis, which is like the smaller unit of Bitcoin. So not. I mean, what is the cost of a Bitcoin now?
Is it like 40,000 something like that? That's why I was saying five, because that would just be so silly if you like every day you have another Bitcoin.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that gets me to another point there. These were probably a little bit on the too good to be true side, but not so far that it was immediately obvious that you pay $10 and you will earn a Bitcoin a day, right? that would be probably to most people would get very suspicious very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as far as what you've all found out and the different apps that you've determined to be these criminal scams, do you report those to Google, or how does that awareness and process work?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually do that quite regularly with Google. When we find malicious apps on the Play Store, we will tell them, and they will take them down. We work with Google on that many times, and I mean that we reported on this one in public clearly has something to do with how many people were affected and how much money was clearly stolen, but also given that Bitcoin mining is such a popular and visible thing at the moment, we figured there will likely be many more victims if this doesn't become really publicly well known.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm surprised. I wonder if there is something similar on Apple devices. I have no idea, obviously, but it might just be a matter of time. I don't know. Is it easier Android versus, I mean, I guess why one versus the other? Is it based on geography? Like some people in certain areas use more of one device? I don't know.
I mean, that's certainly the case. North America is probably the center for iOS users, but I don't think that that iOS or that that North America was necessarily less affected by the cryptocurrency craze than other areas in the world. It is somewhat harder to get an app into Apple's store. I think the rules are stricter, and Apple also seems to have some rules that are not entirely obvious to people. But the other reason is I think that Apple developer accounts are paid. So if you get caught trying to push malware into the Apple store, you lose a certain amount of money. Google's accounts are free, so you just create another one and not under another fake identity and try again.
Okay, so definitely fewer barriers for the Google Play Store. That makes a lot of sense.
Both, I should say, though, do a very good job at trying to filter out malware.
Yeah.
And are very successful at it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you made that point, because it's definitely a huge burden for them. And I'm sure there's just so many different folks involved, and obviously things slip through, but that's why it's great that companies such as, you know, Lookout Threat Labs and others and Bug Bounty and things like that are able to help support in any way that you can.
Yeah.
And so my final question for you, Christoff, is, I guess, I mean, obviously we know if something's too good to be true, it probably is. But in the age of the unknown, especially when it comes to technology and all these different things that are emerging, such as crypto, and people are trying to keep up, how should people best protect themselves from falling victim to scams like this?
Well, I think some of these things I already mentioned, really. If something looks too good to be true, it probably is. But sometimes it doesn't, or at least not very very obviously so. And our research team finds malicious apps every day, covering everything really from adware to state-sponsored surveillance, where there's everything is out there. And to protect yourself, really, rule number one, I would say still, even though these apps were in Google Play, but avoiding third-party app stores or apps from random websites, forums, or other non-trustworthy sources has to protect you from really most malware that is out there. But sometimes something slips through, and this is where the user really has to be careful. Does it look too good, or does it have bad reviews? Those are all things to look at. Have I ever heard of the company before that supposedly develops this app? Is that a trustworthy source? But we know ultimately we can all slip up once in a while. And so we have understood this for a long time for our personal computers, laptops, and desktop computers that we do need anti-malware or antivirus programs on those. And really, mobile phones are no different. It's probably the last line of defense. We should be good at recognizing scams and trying to not install scam apps in the first place. But if it happens, an anti-malware app such as Lookout can protect you when you slip up.
Excellent. Well, Christoph, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing what you found with our audience to help protect them further and build awareness of this, just like another new scam on the on the books for us. So I mean, it's hard to keep up, but thank you so much for helping us keep up.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Christoph Hiebeisen, Director of Security Intelligence Research at Lookout Threat Labs. And for more episodes and podcasts like this, you can visit cybercrime.radio.